Take your Bibles to Leviticus. I have a question this evening way back in the time of the Exodus. Leviticus chapter 10. And we're going to, the question's regarding the end of the chapter. But to get the full idea, we really need to understand what's going on here. So we're going to read the whole chapter to begin with. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, "Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." And Moses spake unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, "Take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And ye shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due, and thy sons' due, of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I am commanded. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall ye eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be thine and thy sons with thee, be by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded." And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. He was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, "Wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy? And God hath given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. Ye should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I am commanded, as I commanded." And Aaron said unto Moses, "Behold, this day they have they offered their sin offering and burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord?" And when Moses heard that, he was content. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to come freely before you and to look to your word. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy and for also, Lord, your awesome judgment. The fact that you are holy, you are pure, and you are careful of your own reputation. Lord, help us to understand that and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. The question we have this evening is not understanding Aaron's answer to Moses, or why it was satisfactory, why Moses accepted that answer. So Moses lays out in verses 10 through 12, or 12 through 20, excuse me. He lays out that what part of the sacrifice was for them, what part was for their provision for them to eat. And as he continues on, you see that actually eating, the priest eating of the sacrifice was kind of part of the sacrifice. Now, we're not going to get into all the pictures of that this evening. We're just looking at this question. As Moses laid it all out, just before this, Nadab and Abihu had been killed because they did not obey the commandment of the Lord. You see another commandment given to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, and they did not obey the commandment of the Lord. Moses gets upset, and he says, "Why haven't you done this?" Apparently, they burnt the whole thing, because it says Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering. So he's looking for it all over, and he says, "Behold, it was burnt." So apparently, instead of eating it, they left it on the altar until it was burnt completely. And he was very angry with that. Now Aaron answers, "Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me if I had eaten the sin offering today. Should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord?" So first of all, the first part of the question is making sense of Aaron's answer here. And then Aaron says, Moses, when he heard that, he was content. So a minute before, he's all upset. He hears Aaron's answer, and he's fine with it. So what happened here? Well, he states here, "Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering." That they and there in that would be the people of Israel. Looking at the entire context, this is the sin offering for the nation. This was that scapegoat that was a symbol of Israel's entire sin being brought forth. So this wasn't an individual's offering. This was for the whole nation. So when he says they and there in that context, he's talking about Israel has offered their sin offering collectively. That's the kind of offering that was just given. And he said, "Such things have befallen me." But what's he talking about? Well, that's why we looked at the context to begin with here. What just befell him? Somebody tell me. He lost two of his sons. Two out of four sons. and he was not allowed to mourn. You need to take note of this as well. He was not allowed to mourn for the loss of his sons. Why? Somebody else help me out here. Why was he not allowed to mourn? Pardon? It was judgment. It was judgment. So Aaron, as well as Eleazar and Ithamar, as the spiritual leaders of the people, kind of second and third and fourth to Moses, for them to go about and to put on the sackcloth and to go about long face and to not partake in the spiritual leadership of the nation for, I forget how many days it was. I think it was seven, but I forgot to look that up. Anyway, for X amount of days, Israel was going to say, "Oh, those poor boys. God killed them." That wasn't going to get God's message across, was it? They expressly disobeyed what God said. Now, you say, wait a second, so did Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar right after this. What's the difference? So then we go back to verse 1. It says, "They offered strange fire before the Lord." God was specific in what incenses and oils to burn before him as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Now, they had just come out of Egypt, and they were traveling through multiple Gentile nations. These Gentile nations were repeatedly trying to infiltrate them in different ways, either with idolatry or with their people, whatever. You can look through the history of the Exodus, and again and again and again, Satan was using the Gentiles to try to get the Israelites off track. So when it says strange fire, they weren't just experimenting, okay? More likely than not, they had some incense that was supposed to be offered to some other idol. And for whatever reason, maybe they thought, hey, well, this stuff smells great. God, you know, everybody that's standing around, they're going to like the smell of this stuff. And it's not expressly commanded that you shall not use frankincense or whatever it might have been. So it smells nice. It makes people happy. Other people are using it. So let's try this. You see that, how that might be? That kind of sounds like how stuff creeps into church today, doesn't it? Oh, other people like it. It's working for that church. It's working for those people. The Bible doesn't say, you shall not do this expressly. Oh, sure, the principle's there, but it doesn't have you know, the brand name or whatever in it. So Nadab and Abihu thought they could get away with it, and God says, no way. Strange fire, that means something that had to do with some other idolatry. God says, you are not offering to me what the Gentiles are offering to their gods. And this is not going to be okay before my people. Why did God bring Egypt, the Israelites out of Egypt? To make them a peculiar people, separate, different, holy. Why did God call Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees? To make a peculiar people. Why was God so specific in the giving of the law and what he counted as holy? So that there would be a people that followed the one true God and honored him for who he was. Not for how we figure it, how we think, or for how what makes us feel good, but for who he is and what honors and glorifies him. And Nadab and Abihu said, oh, well, this feels good, smells good, makes people happy, looks good, whatever. And God says, that's not the way you worship me. And that is not acceptable. So they were carried out in coats and left outside the camp. They didn't get a casket. They didn't get a bier. They were carried outside the camp and left. There was no funeral procession. Israel did not mourn. Aaron and his sons did not mourn. In fact, they weren't even allowed to leave the tabernacle. They were committed to serving God for the next while. God says, focus on serving me. And this is what's going to define the difference between serving God and mixing worship and idolatry. I see something similar in the New Testament, actually. Can anybody tell me what that was in the beginning of the church? Ananias and Sapphira, very good. They said, this looks good. This will make us look good. We can sell our properties. We can make all this money. We can give a whole bunch of money and tell people that was all of it and make them all think that we are so spiritual. And God says, you cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. And what happened when they fell down dead? What was the result on the church? The great fear of God. And many believed. great fear, and many believed. See, if there is obvious sin that will defame the Lord God, that will turn His people away from Him, He's going to do something about it. It might not always be strike them dead, as with Nadab and Abihu and Ananias and Sapphira. But God will do something about it. Excuse me. And true fear of God, understanding that God is perfect in holiness, will cause people to believe, will cause people to follow. You get a lot of people saying, oh, well, God's so harsh. But when you understand how holy He is, truly understand it, the opposite is true. It causes people to submit to Him, to love Him, and to be grateful for what He has done for us. Now, I want you to note, in answer to this question, the first part of the question is, what was Aaron talking about in his answer? His answer is a sum of the fact that that same fear that fell on the early church fell on Aaron. He watched his sons burn up. He watched them be dragged out and discarded. And he said, this is my fault. Pastor Bond was speaking, two weeks ago, on responsibilities. Individual, but also dual responsibilities. Aaron had a dual responsibility in two senses here. First of all, he was their father. It was his responsibility to have taught them, hey, strange fire is not allowed, as a father. Okay? As the one who was giving them that parental leadership. But also, in spiritual leadership, he had responsibility. He was not only their spiritual leader, or their equivalent to a pastor, but he was also the one training them to lead the nation in spiritual leadership. So for him to let that slide by, you know, what you allow will, the next, like that saying, what the parents allow in moderation, the children will do in excess. And it's the same in church. What is allowed in one generation of of church, whether it's in the leadership or in the pew, the next generation is going to take it further. And we see that, the results of that in our day, in our culture. So this same fear fell on Aaron. He understood the power of God. He understood the holiness of God. He understood the jealousy of God. And he understood his responsibility in the matter. Now, it was still their choice, okay? They still had individual responsibility. They had been taught, all right? I'm not saying Aaron didn't teach them. They had been taught, you don't bring strange fire in. But they did it anyway. The lesson didn't get through. So it was their own fault that they disobeyed. But Aaron, just like any man, would have been examining himself right about now. Especially since the first thing he had to turn around and do was offer the sin offering for the nation. There was no break. They burn up. Moses walks in and says, here's how to do the sin offering. Go and do it. There's nothing in between. I believe the fear of God fell on Aaron, and that's why he said, and such things have befallen me. He's looking at the sin offering and he says, the people of Israel have brought this. This is what I'm going through today. There's been sin in my house. He wasn't under judgment, but there was sin in his house. And he said, this is where you see the fear of God. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? He asked Moses a question. Now, he's not saying, I can't ever eat of the sin offering again. He's not saying, Moses, I just didn't like the way you said for us to do that. He said, if I had eaten it today, I'll eat of it next time. If it's tomorrow, I may eat of it. But today, I'm dealing with God in my heart. And as you read through the chapter, you see repeatedly, especially in verse 12, how is the offering referred to? The part that they would eat. He says, for it is most holy. Think about it. Aaron is the second most spiritual man in Israel. And he has just had some pretty bad sin in his house where God judged him openly. Burned him right in front of people. He says, this is the most holy. The most important thing I'll ever put in my mouth. I don't think I'm worthy to do that today. And he allowed the fire on the altar to continue to burn so that it was entirely given to God. In essence, he gave his portion back to God there. He says, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? And Moses could accept that. Yes, Nadab and Abihu had just directly disobeyed, and I think that's why Moses was so upset that, man, didn't these guys learn? One disobedience to another one. And Aaron says, I was thinking about it. And I'm not all the way right with God yet. And Moses says, okay, that's a good answer. And so he's fine with that. So there's the answer to the question, I believe. Let's hit this up a little bit for application. There's a lesson in every part of the Bible for us today. No, we're not burning sacrifices. We don't have to follow bits of the law point by point. You do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. But there's always an application. We kind of went over it already. The application here has to do with the fear of God, doesn't it? What the fear of God has as a result in your life. When you see the hand of God in a great way, as they did here, as the early church did with Ananias and Sapphira, those who saw were caused to fear God. And yes, it was a shaking in the boots kind of fear. It was a step back and, oh my. Heart stopping. And there may be times in your life where God's going to do something that is that obvious to you. God did that. I better watch my step. And even if you don't see that, we are to have a fear of God, understanding that God is holy and He will judge. He is a perfect and holy judge. God has not changed. The same God has the same power that literally sent fire blazing down from heaven to hit Nadab and Abihu. It's the same God and has the same power as the one who stopped the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira, who opened up the ground for Korah and his followers, who rolled the Red Sea back on top of Pharaoh and his armies. after Moses got across. Good job. God's power has not changed. And oftentimes we're neglect of being understanding and accepting of this power because we don't necessarily see it very much today. But the ways we see it, we kind of brush over, ignore. But you may have a time where you say, wow, God did that. Fear has two reactions in the Bible. Fear of God has two reactions. The first reaction would be to have fear and recoil. You see something happening and you think, run for your life. Fear and recoil. Now, that's not the fear that Aaron had. Yes, he didn't take part in the sacrifice that he was commanded to afterwards, but he wasn't necessarily recoiling. He was considering. But if you look in Luke 19 and verse 21, you don't have to turn there, but in one of the parables of a Lord giving talents to his servants and going away for a while, coming back, and you remember the last servant, he went and dug up his one talent and gave it back to the master. And the master says, why? Why is it just the one? And he says, I knew that thou wert an austere man. Somebody to be afraid of. A powerful and stern and rigorous. He had things done a certain way. He said, I knew that thou wert an austere man. And so I didn't want anything to go wrong, so I buried it, so here you go, and hopefully I can go on my way. Didn't work out for him, did it? That was taken from him, given to somebody else, and he was thrown in prison because he didn't do the job he was given to do. He had fear of the master and he recoiled. He said, okay, if that's how the master is, I'll just keep to my little corner and hopefully I don't cross him at all. But you know, the fact of the matter is, when we don't serve God because we excuse it because we think we know who God is and what He's all about, and use that to choose not to serve God, no matter how much we excuse ourselves and that we're not trying to step on God's toes, that is stepping on God's toes. Recoiling from God, having a fear that says, okay, don't mess with God. As long as I'm saved, I'm good. That's displeasing to God. Because God saved you to serve Him and to bring Him honor and glory. Say, okay, well, yeah, God can do some scary things, and I don't like scary things, and God is very powerful, and He's a righteous judge, and what if I do this and don't do it right? And the Bible says all this about fear of God. What am I supposed to do? Well, study it out. The Bible says the fear of God is to bring humility. And that's what it did for Aaron. He considered his position, and whether or not he was directly responsible, he said, today I'm in talks with God. Today I'm letting God work on my heart. He had, even though he was Aaron as the spiritual leader, could have said, well, that was their problem. Come on, Israel, let's follow God. And, you know, I've got it all figured out. He could have done that. And he would have been justified in doing that. And the way I said it, it sounds kind of corny, but honestly, he would have been justified in doing that. He had the command of Moses. He had the law as it was given up to that point. He would have been justified in saying, away with them, let's do things this way. But he had the humility to say, there is sin in my house. Israel has done their sin offering, but I'm still bringing myself before God. There was humility there. He said, today, he could not mourn for his sons, but he could reflect on what was happening. And in reflection, he said, this is the most holy thing that I could ever partake of. Today I am unworthy. I'll give it all to God today. Because right now I'm unworthy. If we could gauge our lives this way. If we could gauge our lives by looking for God's hand, looking for what God does, and saying, that's God's power. And this is what God does and can do in my life. Let me order my life along these lines. Because He is mighty. Because He is holy. Because He will have His name pure. You know, we spend a lot of time pointing out, oh, so-and-so, they've got it all wrong. And so-and-so, they're really messing with God's reputation. So-and-so, we spend a lot of time pointing everywhere else. And even saying, God, why haven't you struck them dead yet? But Aaron didn't say, well, it's about time, God. They were kind of rebellious kids anyway. He said, no. Some of the responsibility was mine. Let me get my heart right with God. The early church did not say, and those dirty liars, it's a good thing God got them out of the church before it caused problems. No. Great fear fell on the church, and many believed. People saw God's judgment on others, and they got their own heart right. Why do we think? Why do we focus on God's judgment or lack of judgment in other people when we're all sinners in the hand of an angry God? When we're all lost souls at enmity with Him that find mercy at the foot of the cross? Yeah, Aaron made some pretty big mistakes before and after this point in his life, but this one point, Moses was easily satisfied because Aaron stopped looking around, stopped being influenced by the other people, and said, God's dealing with me today, or God can deal with me today. I will let Him do it. It made a difference. And I believe it made a difference to the entire nation at this point. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and Lord, how You have chosen specifically what to place in these pages and preserve for us to read today, thousands of years later, and the lessons that we can learn if we'll stop and ask simple questions. Lord, we thank You for the one who brought this question this evening, and we could consider what was said and what was done and how You were glorified through it. May You be glorified here tonight, and may it affect our hearts and our walks with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.